Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules. Rule number one, no touching of the hair or face.
Of course.
Go.
And that's it. Go. Now, let's do this.
Nothing can stop me. I'm all the way up.
Dynamite drop in, Monty. That broadcast school has really paid off.
Put my mic on!
And what's going on, everybody? Dave Destruction Sturcio here, episode 42, the final episode of 2017 of Destruction 101. 42 episodes, 52 weeks, so I missed 10 weeks. No big deal, right? I mean, I did a bi-weekly podcast for a little while, and I did it every week a little while after that, and I was just kind of spreading around, kind of planting the seeds and doing my thing for the first year of this podcast. But we are here and now at the very end of this podcast. Had a lot of successful ones, had a couple duds here and there. It didn't matter. We just kept rolling and rolling and rolling. And here we are, finding ourselves with less than 7 days to go until 2018. What a year! What a year it has been for myself personally. You know, it's been a hell of a year for professional wrestling on the independents, whether it be WWE or my home company of WrestlePro, Battle Club Pro, all these great companies that are on the up and ups. It's been a great year for a lot of guys individually. A lot of strides were made for, again, myself, but also, you know, my peers around me. It's been something to be said about 2017 being one of my favorite years. I mean, obviously 2016 had its little moments, like, you know, the whole get married thing. So that was the highlight of 2016. 2017, I went into it, you know, basically tucked the ball under the arm and just, you know, went head first, you know, nose first into a lot of stuff. And it's going to segue and translate into 2018. I'm very excited about a lot of stuff. You know, right off the bat, you have obviously you have WrestlePro ready to kick off its 2018 campaign with its show on February 3rd, featuring Emma. Tennille Dashwood will be taking on Angelina Love in the main event. So right there, we're setting the standard right there. We are making history. We're making our first ever women's main event, and we're very excited about that. Also, obviously, the working ongoing relationship now that's pretty apparent if anybody hasn't really caught up on it. The relationship between WrestlePro and Impact Wrestling. Obviously, it's, you know, called, the new event is called Brace for Impact. So obviously, you know, there's going to be a lot of Impact stars. If you saw the poster, it is phenomenal. It is unbelievable to see how many people, you know, are willing and ready to come into WrestlePro and make their own, you know, no pun, impact. And I'm very excited about that, because everybody that's working with WrestlePro is going to be able to work with Impact hand in hand, get your name out there, you know, get your name out to the higher ups, and it's just going to be great, and I'm excited. And unfortunately, if you're not a part of WrestlePro anymore, then there's nothing to be really excited about, and that's totally cool too. Other people are doing their own things, and that's awesome. You know, I have a lot of colleagues that never worked for WrestlePro and have made their way on the independent scene as far as their positioning, as far as either being in-ring talent or a broadcaster or a ring announcer, and you know, there's a lot of people succeeding, and you know, being that WrestlePro is the machine that it is, and I call it a machine because that's exactly what it is. I mean, let's call a spade a spade. When you look at independent wrestling on the East Coast or on the tri-state area, you know, we have New Jersey on lockdown, okay? Because I mean, if you look at Philadelphia, they might have House of Hardcore. New York is a very It's a big melting pot of a lot of companies, but the House of Glory stand out. The Battle Club Pros stand out. I believe they're on the rise, and you know, I'm excited to be a part of them as well. Then you got, obviously, Ring of Honor on their own wavelength. So New York is a little oversaturated, but if you look at New Jersey, you know, there's a lot of independents, which, again, if you're running in 2017 and you're continuing to run in 2018, more power to you. You probably look, you know, either phenomenal for the grind, Like I said, these are the smaller companies that have some kind of credibility because A, they bring in the stars, or B, they have talent on their roster that's fairly good. You know, there's a couple companies that come to mind. You know, SWF, and that's Rob Fury's promotion. I'm excited to see what this standalone wrestling does. I have no idea what to expect, but, you know, they also are bringing in Emma. They have a huge kickoff show in January or February. I forget what the date was. But I know, you know, the powers that be behind that are, you know, have the financials and have the backing and have the support. So, I expect them to succeed in their first year. It's a very hard thing, and Pat said it best at the Wawa's, which if you were not there, obviously, you know, you're either not part of WrestlePro or you're not one of the, you know, 10 to 15 hardcore dedicated fans that were there, which we can't thank enough for, you know, being there to celebrate. But I'll get more into that later. But, you know, Pat said it, like, it's a grind. It's hard. Sometimes you will lose money. Sometimes you'll gain money. You know, sometimes, you know, there'll be a couple months where you're like, oh, I don't know if I can do this anymore as far as run shows. But then there'll be a couple months where it's like, whoa, we just knocked it out of the park. So we're very excited that 2018, again, WrestlePro is going to be on the rise. A couple other companies are still hanging around, standing alone. You know what I mean? Like, there's going to be different companies that do their thing. And there's also going to be the independent companies that are just like, why are you still here? And that's just, you know what? I've come to the conclusion that's pro wrestling, folks. You can get mad at it, and I did at times. Pro wrestling is full of either really good juggernaut companies that really know what they're doing, or they're full of just complete, utter garbage, and it's just, you're never going to get rid of it. It's just one of those things where, hey, I bought a ring. Hey, here's my promotion. We're the best. You know, it's comical, to see some of these crowds, these guys draw in. Like, when there's more people in the locker room than there are in the crowd, then that's when you know there's a problem. Again, not saying any names. I'm just saying that there's companies out there, and you can, as a fan listening to the show and a person who attends these shows, you know that exists. You know, that aspect of it exists where you're looking around, they're like, oh, there's like seven or eight people here. You know what I mean? And there's four, eight on eight matches and shit where they're getting so many people work. Some people are working for free. Some people are working for their pay. And that's how sometimes shows lose money. You know, there's been a lot of stuff going on in pro wrestling, and even, you know, fellow podcasters that I truly don't understand the motive. I don't understand why they do what they do or why they say what they say. But if they're starting their own movement, it's failing miserably. And just because a couple people kind of followed you and kind of like tugged on your coattails, like, hey, I want to come with you, that's not the right decision. You know, I'll be the first one to admit that in 2014, you know, when all things went awry for myself, you know, tearing my ACL and just being a negative Nancy and just getting back in 2015 in the ring, I'm kicking ass, I'm taking names. And then all it took was me to be just a bitter piece of shit and go on a podcast and start ripping the guys that created me. And it didn't make any sense. Why would you do that? And I was let go because I thought I was being bullied. I thought I was being taken advantage of, blah, blah, blah. You know, fast forward and now end of 2017, I'm back with those same guys because I realized that they're the reason why I'm in the position I'm in right now. And sometimes you have to swallow your pride and you have to admit when you're wrong. You know, there are people that I work for, Pat, Kevin, you know, everybody involved at WrestlePro that are brash, that are going to be a little rough on me. And that's only because they give a shit. Had they not given a shit, they would have said, hey, listen, thanks for your service. You can go now. You know what I mean? That they never did that to me. In fact, they've always given me more and more opportunities to excel in different roles, whether it be the commentator, whether it be the ring announcer, whether it be the social media guy, whether it be a marketing campaigner or whatever the case may be. They've given me time and time again the confidence to run with the company. And that's exactly what I've been trying to do. Making friends and enemies in the process. You know, over the last couple of weeks, you know, for whatever reason, people considered me like just not on the outs as far as like not one of the boys or just kind of like, hey, you're trying to be a leader, but you're not, and yada, yada, yada. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with people trying to call me out on wrongdoings. If I offended anybody, you know, friends of mine, I've gone out of my way and I've reached out to these people. And I've, you know, texted, emailed, Facebook messaged, or called, or whatever the case may be. I've gotten in contact with the people that supposedly I was doing wrong by and simply throw an apology out. That's all it takes. It's all it takes is, hey, man, didn't mean to come across as a dickhead or some kind of dictator. I don't run the fucking company. I don't do that. I help where I'm asked to help. And sometimes that translates into, like, you know, Pat even said to me, he's like, we know you mean well, but sometimes it might come off to rough on a couple people. Like, even I was talking to Craig Steele the other day, and we're talking, and he's like, listen, you know, the way you deliver some of your messages, it might come off as not bullyish, but a little like demanding. And I'm not in a position to demand anybody. So, like, I went off and did my own thing, and I said sorry to a certain amount of people. But at the same time, like, I knew where I was at one point. I knew that I was on the outs. I was disrespected. I was hated by a couple guys. And it's the last thing I wanted going into the new year, because I'm very excited about everything in the new year. So why would I put myself in a position where people frowned upon me and my ways and my leadership skills or lack thereof? I just try to motivate as many people as I possibly can. And sometimes, like I said, if you have thin skin in a business of pro wrestling and entertainment and all that stuff, like, if you have a thin skin, you're going to be on the outs quick. I know I did a couple years back. I did. I was just like, couldn't handle it anymore. I spit off at the mouth, and I was outed. I was done. Wrestling was going to be out of my future. You know, I had Rob Fury in my back pocket saying, hey, if you want to run, brother, here, you know, you come over here. And of course I would go over there, and I did. I had a couple matches, but all it took was a couple matches over at the SWF where some of my boys were booked, and just kind of being around my guys again. And I was like, oh man, I need to get back here. There's no reason. I'm not going to succeed. And this is not a knock on Rob. I'm just saying I need to be where I started. And that's why I took it upon myself to do whatever it took to get back there. And God is my witness. Here I am. And here I am in a position where I feel like I'm at my peak, and I'm just going to keep going up. There's no reason to go down. So for those of you who don't maybe think I'm sugarcoating certain things, there's specific people that have not made the cut, okay? And unfortunately, you know, we have an awards dinner, a celebration. We had a ball, as expected. You know, Dan Moff cleaned house. He won a lot of awards. Now, keep in mind, these are fan-voted awards. And the boys are going to vote, but there's only 40 of us. And there was 300 to 500 votes per outlet or per award. So it was definitely not biased. It was definitely like, hey, you know, who do you think should win? Wrestler of the year, holy shit moment of the year, funniest moment of the year, tag team of the year, whatever, manager of the year. All these awards were voted on by the public. And Dan Moff, who I had spoke to the night before, said, you know, hey, he's like, hey, D, I'm nervous. I really put everything I had, my whole soul, into WrestlePro in 2017, and I really hope I win some awards. And that just goes to show you that if Dan Moff, a guy who's been around for 20 plus years, and it's not a knock on his age, he is the Benjamin Button, he only gets better with age, for somebody like him to be concerned about the amount of awards and hardware he can take home, that goes to show you that it means something to even the biggest of names like Dan Moff. And sure shit, boom, he hit three home runs. He hit three amazing speeches, and they had all of us crying, man. And like, this is an emotional business because we're so emotionally invested, and we love this shit so much. You know, I honestly like had to turn away from like 6 of the 9 speeches, like these, because people are just grateful and just happy. The job security guys, I mean, these guys were saying that it was the best moment of their lives to win an award at WrestlePro. Dude, if I was eligible or nominated for something and I won an award, hell yeah, man. You're in the public eye. You know, there's a lot of people supporting you and just believing in what you're doing. You know, job security, for instance, and the beach bums and those guys, for instance, they started from nothing. They started from absolutely nothing. And then, you know, you throw a couple guys together. Hey, good luck. Best of luck. See if you can run with this gimmick. And they've taken off, you know, thousands and thousands of views on their YouTube page. And it's just funny, comedic shit. And it's just phenomenal, phenomenal shit. And my hat goes off to those guys because they're worth something, you know, to the company. And anybody that was there that night, you know, especially obviously the boys that were at the awards dinner, we got to hear an emotional job security, Dan Moff. We got to hear, Buster and Rin, for Christ's sake, she won Most Improved. Like, these awards are very important to people, and yet some people on the outside looked at it as a joke, and those people on the outside weren't there, and they weren't there because they dug their own shit, And I don't want to hear the whole I got up and left myself. That's bullshit, dude. That is bullshit, and you know it. It's and at this point, it's delusion, and it's fucking, it's sickening, because I thought of these certain people or persons as a cool dude, as somebody to admire, as somebody who's a hard worker and a cool gimmick and all this other shit, and all of a sudden, just out of left field, you just, I can't take it anymore. What can't you take? Having a spot every show, having a fucking a tag team in the hunt for tag team gold every month, and having a cool spot and little things here, and me inviting you onto commentary, and what couldn't you take? You couldn't take Kevin Matthews being a little bit of a fucking asshole to you, because Kevin Matthews is just that. Kevin Matthews is the guy that has, if he didn't curse me out time and time again, I wouldn't be the man I am today. Kevin Matthews is 1 year older than me, okay? So, and I can't look at him and say, oh, he's the father figure. He's not a father figure. He's a mentor of mine. He's the guy that I remember. I remember specifically, it was end of July, August 2012. He came up from Florida, and he helped guest train with Sammy Callahan at the PWS school. Yeah, I said the PWS school. Okay, or actually, it's pre-WrestlePro school, so that's PWS. And he helped me, and he beat my ass one day, and I was just like, oh my God. I was giddy. I was like, I just got beat up by the champ. You know, it's the same guy that's been basically bullying me for fucking 5 years. And sometimes it crossed lines, and sometimes I'm just like, oh my God, like, oh, when's this going to stop? But he said it in his speech, if you were there, that if he talks to you and he gives you this critique and he's messing with your mind and he's doing all this shit, he's doing it because he gives a shit about you. He cares about you enough to talk to you, to acknowledge you, to try to make you better. He's taken over creative. He's taken over creative control with Pat. And obviously, you know, Pat's going to give his 4 cents or whatever, you know, in some of the storylines. But mostly this is Kevin having fun with the awesome roster that we have. And if you cross him the wrong way, then he doesn't have a use for you. And that's it. Like, that's what I don't understand, where this all came from. And I'll be the first to admit, listen, there's a, you know, there's private messages that go around on group pages or whatever. And I didn't get it. I didn't get it when some people were like, I'm not going to the Wawa's. I'm just like, what the fuck? Like, why? You know? And then all of a sudden, I get called out. Oh, I'm glad you liked it, because I'm on Kevin's side. And I said, like, yeah, stop bitching. Like, what are you doing? Why are you bitching? I don't get it. Doesn't make any sense. You had a good spot. I gave you a good spot on commentary. I gave you a good spot on this fucking podcast. I gave you all these things, and like, the forum is there, and you get out there and you do your thing, and you excel in different places, and you take one of our guys who are in a tag team, you put them in singles matches at other places, and you manage them there, and it was cool. So what exactly happened? And you have not reached out to me, which is making me kind of, what the fuck, you know, question the friendship that we even had. You know what I mean? Like, I don't get it. And I'm like, look, if you want to do the math and know who I'm talking about, that's cool. And if I'm not going to say any names, because it's not necessary, totally not necessary. But like, I just don't see, I don't see the reason. I don't see where it all went wrong. Maybe things went wrong a lot wronger behind the scenes that I wasn't aware of. I wish I was brought into light. I wish I was told of what's going on. All I said was I was upset that the kid wasn't coming to the fucking Wawa's, and all of a sudden it's like, I knew you would be upset, or I knew you would like that. I'm like, wait, what? I was sad. I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? So, yeah. So that's anyway. So the Wawa's came and went, and then, like I said, I'm only going to waste breath on things that are valuable to me, and what's valuable to me is WrestlePro and the current people on the roster. So if you're on the roster, and you're current, and you're there to be in future storylines, and embrace and enjoy this Impact Wrestling relationship, then good for you. And if you're not there, you're losing out. I mean, there's just no way around it. There's no promotion on the planet right now, unless you're walking out of the curtain of Ring of Honor, then, or WWE. There's no promotion on the planet that you should say, ah, I'd rather be here than WrestlePro. It doesn't make any sense. It does not, because we have the forum, we have the, you know, the production value, we have the creative minds behind it, we have the legends that come in every month. Like, we have a really good thing going. And if you don't want to be here, and you can check, since I'm with the WrestlePro Facebook page, I get messages constantly of people wanting to be booked for WrestlePro. Here's how to do it. Go join the fucking school and train there. I'm not saying you have to learn the WrestlePro way, but you have to pay your dues. And like, there's things where if you weren't there, which I'll admit to right now, I'm not there a lot. Like, there's just, I don't have time. And when I'm there, I'm there. And I put in my 2 cents. And I help out a couple younger guys, and that's it. I go home. You know, like, I'm not a trainer. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have that background where I can be like, well, you know, I'm trained under Pat Buck. I know everything there is to know about pro wrestling. That's false. Because if you want to do the math, I started training in 2012 and stopped training in early 15. So I haven't trained in 2 years. You don't think that Pat's taught new stuff in 2 years? I'm pretty sure he has. You know, there's a lot of things I didn't learn in pro wrestling. But what I am learning is the backstage stuff and what to do to run a business and what's good business and what's bad business. You know what I mean? So I these are things I learned now. And I, you know, I told my wife this plenty of times where I'm glad I've latched on to people that are successful in this business, like a Pat Buck, like where one day down the road, if I have that extra money, I could say, hey, you know what? Like, yes, WrestlePro is it, but what's to stop me from making like the quote NXT of WrestlePro, where the newer guys are going to be featured and I can run that promotion because I know how to do it now. You know what I mean? Like, you pick the brain of these people. I'm latching onto a lot of things in 2018. A lot of things. And I think that if I have the right tools and I do the right things, like this is going to be big. It's going to be a very big year for me. And I don't say that to boast or brag. I say that because I'm confident in my abilities to get my name out there, to market myself, and to just kick ass and take names as much as I possibly can. So, like I said, we're going to take a break right now, listen to some tunage, and then when we get back, I'll get to all your stuff. I'll get to all the sports stuff. I'll get to my recent championship victory. I will get to all this stuff when we come back, and we'll wrap it up, give our predictions for 2018, give some end of the year awards without any hardware, and yeah, we'll do all that stuff when we come back. We're back, and hope you enjoyed some Philify from Device. If you don't know the sound of that voice, that is the lead singer of Disturbed, who went off and did his own thing for a little while. Good music. I love it. But anyway, we're going to go right into your questions and comments and all this other good shit that you guys left on the old Facebook, which grew tremendously today. It was very small, but if you want to follow me on Facebook, it's facebook.com/destruction101. And that's DSTRUCTION 101 to follow the Facebook page. We had about 350 likes. We are up to 414. And that's only because Facebook decided to finally get behind the invite mass group thing instead of clicking one by one by one. It was just so freaking annoying when this first started. So let me pull up all your stuff that you guys decided to leave. A couple of resolutions. I want to read a couple of those just because I think it's, you know what? I'll read the resolutions next because I'm going to give you some of my own. So I'll give you some of the questions and comments that were dropped previously. Mike Malaria, who one of the dedicated fans to show up to the Wawas. I only got to say hello to him. It was like a hello and goodbye kind of thing. It was really quick. I don't know why, but it's all good. What are your goals for 2017? Well, 2017's over. So what are your goals for 2018, I'm assuming, was the question that you wanted. The goals are simple, man. It's just to be as active as possible. It's to be as, you know, healthy as possible. Those goes along with my resolutions. But if I had to set goals, it would be get on television, which could be happening on January 4th. As soon as that is to make money with Charles Westcott Entertainment, CWE. It's to get some voiceover work under the BMG banner. You know, Michael Lyons and then that agency. It's to pretty much do everything that I kind of put in place for 2018, and I think that you know, I have a really good shot at doing a lot of this stuff because, well, it's right here. It's right here and right now. JP Mayer, very upset that you weren't there. You were definitely part of the roast from Shining Wizards Kevin. You missed that. It was good. It was fun. What was your favorite moment from 2017? Oof, God. I mean, come on. There's so many. You know, anything WrestlePro related was a great moment for me. Being able to go out there and ring announce for the first time was really cool. And that was, like I said, it was one of those trials real quick. Like, hey, man, do this real quick and you could do it. And I said, okay, great. And it turned into something phenomenal. But I think my favorite moment will be aired on Pop TV on January 4th. And that was being able to ring announce for the Impact Wrestling Championship match between Alberto El Patron and Eli Drake. That had to be one of those moments where the crowd was behind me. The crowd was into it. I felt a rush. I felt sick to my stomach with nerves, but that definitely has to be up there. There's so many more things that happened. You know, my stepsister got married. You know, one of my best friends got married. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of personal things that definitely happened. You know, meeting some of my favorite new people, new fans, new friends, just anybody I came across that like gives me any kind of respect or anything like that. You know, those were the highlights. Ray Sanchez, Ray Raimundo, who had to tell me, hey, it's me. I knew it was you the whole time. Final question of the week. Sorry I've been missing with 2017 coming to a close. What can you say your biggest regret was? And he says, best wishes for 2018. My biggest regret was not chasing the money earlier. And when I say that, you know, everything's set up for 2018. I'm very excited about it. However, I feel like I was very complacent in the beginning of the year, you know, working with just the Battle Club Pro, Wrestle Pro, and doing my teaching, or not even teaching, just whatever I do during the day. I'm a paraprofessional doing that, and I was kind of satisfied with that. My biggest regret is not, I don't live with regret. I literally only have two, maybe, you know, in my entire life, and I'll get into it in my next question that came from Jeremy Thompson. But the regret, I guess you could say, missed opportunity would be not to focus more on my money and my finances. Going back to Mike Malario, I'm sorry, JP Mayer, favorite moment. I bought a fucking house. You know what I mean? Like, I can't say that's not up there. You know, the peace and quiet of having your own home is something really amazing. But yeah, Ray, I mean, I would say, like, you know, like I said, not chasing all this stuff a little sooner and not believing in myself a little sooner. I mean, I know I went out for the Nets thing middle of the summer. I did a lot of coaching for football. I wish I could have kind of stuck with that a little bit more, only because there was just no time. But hey, listen, everything's going to work itself out. I'm very excited about it. Jeremy Thompson, who got completely blitzed at the Wawa's, I think. Unless that's your personality, dude, more power to you. You were all over the place, bouncing off the walls. If you can bring one person back from the afterlife for an interview, who would it be? And it's very, very easy. And that's my best friend, John. And that was one of my one regrets of my entire life, not being there for him when he needed me the most. And he didn't reach out and say, please help. But he needed it. He needed it really, like, really bad. And if I was there, maybe things could have, you know, maybe things could have worked itself out a different way and he would be with us today. But he's not, and that's my biggest regret. And I would definitely bring him back to interview and to ask him what was going through his life and what was going through his mind when he was going through all his transitions and coming out, you know, and saying that he was a supposed bisexual human, a gay human, or whatever he was. I truly don't understand or don't believe, or not don't believe. I mean, it happens. You know, people battle with this stuff. I really wish he would have just came out a little sooner and told me a little bit on how he was struggling every day, and things wouldn't have turned out the way they did. And I don't like look, going forward in 2018 for this podcast in particular, I want to tend not to bring my personal life into it. But, you know, now you know where I come from as a human, as a person, of what things I deal with on a day to day, or what things shape me, what things make me who I am today. And that was one of them. So losing my best friend, I wish he was here. And I truly hope that he's proud and he's, you know, looking over me and making sure that things are going swimmingly in all departments. Jamie Silverberg, how did it feel to rape and destroy the Stallion from the only thing he's good at in his sad, pathetic life, fantasy football? The pundits are saying that he will never recover from this and he is over. Yes, Jamie, I'll announce it here. You know, the one thing, I was in three fantasy football leagues this year, and let me tell you something. As far as the entry fees, my league, or the league I joined with a buddy of mine, was I believe $250. A league that I run myself was $150, and the league with the least amount of money to lose was the Creative Pro New York Fantasy Football League, which included guys like Jay Silva, Raleigh, Brian Myers, Kurt Hawkins, TJ Wilson, Tyson Kidd, Pat Buck was in it, Kevin Keenan, Mike Bucci, Nova, all these guys were in it. They're all friends. They've been doing it for a couple years. And when I got into this league, I told Raleigh when I was coming in that he was not going to win because supposedly he had won the previous 2 years. And I told him he wasn't going to win this year. And my reasoning was that there was too much knowledge coming into the league, that there was going to be more, better competition coming into the league, myself included. Now, fast forward to the draft itself. I'll chronological this shit because this was one of my greatest things ever, and I cannot wait to receive the championship belt in which Kurt Hawkins purchased for this league for this year, in which it's on Raleigh's bedside table or wherever the hell it is, but it's coming home. It's coming to my mantle. It's coming to my man cave. It's coming to me. When I drafted, I believe, the 9th pick in the draft out of a 12-team draft. Brian Myers decided to throw a wrench in the draft and take Mike Evans, number 2 overall. Yes, you heard that right. Mike Evans drafted number 2 overall, enabling Raleigh to grab Antonio Brown in, I believe, the 3rd spot. Or the 4th spot. Either way, it was AB, it was Brown and it was Bell, like back-to-back. David Johnson obviously being 1, and then we all know how that turned out. But I drafted Jay Ajayi with my 9th pick, which I thought he was going to be good. I mean, we'll get to his importance in a second, but Jay Ajayi, 9th overall, and on the way back, I took Ezekiel Elliott, knowing that there was an impending suspension. I knew that if I was going to lose him for 6 games, hopefully I would have some kind of decent outing without him and have a deep enough draft where when he came back from his suspension, he would be mine. And so I drafted Darren McFadden in the 6th round, and Darren McFadden didn't suit up for the first fucking 9 weeks of the fucking regular season. So therefore, that's a wasted pick already. Zeke getting suspended. I traded with Silva to get Deshaun Watson straight up for, who did I trade? It was a straight up trade. I can't think of it now. Anyway, I got Deshaun Watson. Oh, it was for Tariq Cohen, and he was on a tear. So it was like right before Watson hit a stride, because I had Watson for those 3 weeks that he annihilated teams. So here I am like, oh, shit, I'm good to go. Let me go trade away Derek Carr because I don't need a backup quarterback anymore. I'm going to ride Watson to the championship, right? Down goes Watson. I no longer have Carr. Now what? I have 0 quarterbacks. I'm looking at Josh McCown. I'm looking at all these scrubs in the free agency. And I make a trade where I trade away. Who did I trade away? I traded away. I don't know. Who did I trade away? Whatever the case may be, I made another trade. Oh, Adam Thielen. I had to. Thielen was one of the top receivers in the league. I had to make a move to get a quarterback. So I traded Thielen and somebody else. I don't remember. It happened a couple weeks back. Thielen and somebody else for Christian McCaffrey and Ben Roethlisberger. Ben Roethlisberger carried me all the way to the end, okay? And Christian McCaffrey turned it on, okay? But listen, keep in mind, every single week I have Voxer. If you don't have Voxer, this whole fucking podcast should be sponsored by Voxer, because Voxer is a way to communicate with somebody without making a phone call. So it's basically a Nextel. You remember the chirping and the walkie-talkies? Yeah. Well, I'm in a group chat, as you well know, if you listen to this podcast, with Silva and Raleigh and Kurt Hawkins. So I'm in, and I talk to them on the regular every day about fantasy football or whatever is happening in the world of sports and wrestling and all this other shit. But I could not go 1 week without hearing shit from Raleigh Allen. And you can add him on Facebook and tell him to go scratch, because every day it was excuse after excuse of why I was winning games. He blamed me for having a schedule where people against me would score less. That's right. Delusion. So you're telling me I have all total control over the teams I play, A, and how many points they score. All you have to do in fantasy football, on a head-to-head fantasy football league, is beat the teams that are in front of you. I don't give a shit if they score 50. If you score 51, you win the game. You have to win games. Okay? I was in first place for a little while. I have the screenshot to prove it, because I said, you know what, this ain't going to last. I'm going to be in first place for a week or two, and this is pretty fucking cool. So then all of a sudden the playoffs come around, and I start sliding, and losing games here and there. So then I got into the playoffs as the fourth seed out of six. Okay, so first round, I got to go against Pat Buck. And Pat Buck's team is pretty stacked, okay? But he decides he wanted to bench Dak Prescott on a day he went off and put in Josh McCown on a day he broke his fucking wrist. Okay, I'm sorry that that happened, okay? But it happened against me, and I won that game. The following week, I got smart Mark Sterling, who is butchering people, went into the playoffs as the number one seed, best team in the league. Highest scoring, highest everything, great team. On paper, I guess he was scoring a lot of points. I went in there, a 15-point underdog, and I beat him. And what happened? Now, here's where it goes, because it's the semifinal. So now, it's all shaping up. Oh my God, is Dave Destruction about to take on Raleigh, the Stallion, Allen in the finals? That was what we ideally picked out. We said, what better way to end the season than Dave versus Raleigh in the finals? After all the shit talking, it would have been perfect. What does Raleigh do? Raleigh loses Antonio Brown early on in week 14, and he never recovered, and he got his ass kicked by Johnny Silver, and a team that was led by Marcus Mariota, okay? Marcus Mariota, along with a couple of receivers that were somewhat decent, and now all this talk, all this is this hoopla and all this hype for me versus Raleigh in the finals never gets to happen. It's me versus Johnny Silver, okay? So now I'm in the championship. I was complacent on being in the championship and feeling like, you know what? I got here. He didn't, okay? But then once you start seeing certain things develop in the midst of a three-day stretch, because you have the Saturday games, you have the Sunday, the whole plate on Sunday, Christmas Eve, and then Christmas Day, you have a couple things. So going into Christmas night, I was down seven. There was two players on each team. He had Nick Foles, which for whatever reason, he thought Nick Foles would be a better option than Marcus Mariota, which it turned out to be pretty even after you look at the stats, and Michael Crabtree. Who did I have? I had little old Jay Ajayi and Ben Roethlisberger, the quarterback that I never had, and the first round overall pick, Jay Ajayi. I fall asleep on the way home from the in-laws' house, and I wake up in my driveway to check the score and to see that Jay Ajayi already had scored a touchdown in the first quarter and it was blowing the doors off. Poetic fucking justice at its best. Jay Ajayi saved my season, and he won me a championship. And on top of that, I had Ezekiel Elliott in the championship game, who also scored me about 11 to 12, 13, maybe 15 points. I don't have the scoreboard in front of me, but Zeke Elliott did his thing. He rushed for over 100. How do you like that? That's pretty fucking crazy, is it not, Raleigh? Now, on January 20-something, I forget the day, and I'll plug it, obviously, as we get into January, there is a show at Creator Pro New York called Hit the Switch, and it's featuring Christian, and we're partners up with the Make-A-Wish Foundation, so it's going to be a great show. But the best part about that show is that I have to see Raleigh for the first time in a very, very long time, and I don't have to shake his hand. All I have to do is receive the championship belt from Raleigh Allen, because he was the defending champion who swore to God and back that he was going to win for a third straight year. I came into your league, Raleigh, and I fucked shit up, and now I'm the champion. Thank you. I would drop the mic, but I got more to say. So yes, Jamie, it felt fan-fucking-tastic to do that. People's resolutions for 2018. Summer Kleeman, who I haven't seen in forever, she said, be active. Absolutely. Get your ass out there. Get to the gym. I know she was into karate, if I remember correctly. I'm going to be more active than ever. I'm going to lift the weights more than ever using the Silva system, which I can get into a whole new podcast. Jeremy Thompson, it's my everyday aspiration, be better than yesterday. 110%, Jeremy, that is on the money. That's exactly what you have to do. Be better than the day before. Mike Malaria, my only resolution is to make next year better than this one. Well, guess what, buddy? Start now. Start now. As you're listening to this on December 27th when it drops, start now. Don't wait for 2018. Make the moves you need to make in order to, for you to succeed in 2018. I think it's going to be a big year for you because you're working with the correct people. And guess what? You don't say boo to anybody. You're working for Pat Buck, finding him the news and doing your thing and being a reporter and being a writer. And that's fucking awesome. And I commend you for it. And I think you're an excellent, excellent reporter. I've read your stuff as a fellow writer. I totally am digging your shit. Very, very good. Good luck. Lisa, to make A's on my classes and squat 200. Well, I can't tell you about the squats because I suck at that. But A's on classes, good luck to you. Lisa, we will see you in February. Lisa is a fan in Texas, big Cowboys fan as well, so we always got along. She's coming here in February to see WrestlePro, so we're very excited to see her back. Scott Jones, lose weight, be active. Dude, here's the, like I said to Mike Malario and everybody else, start now. Do not wait for the new year. Just kick ass and just do your thing, man. There's so many ways to just do it. Like, your diet, obviously, is number one. Two is, you know, whether it be lifting the weights, cardio, DDP yoga, whatever you want to do, there's so many ways to better yourself. And there's so many ways to put yourself in a better mindset. And I've done that 180, okay, like a million times. This is definitely easy for you. And I believe you're dedicated enough to do it. And I really believe in you. Franklin Myers, saw him also at the Wawa's. Good to see him all dressed up, looking really great. My resolution is to not fail in school and become better in what I'm majoring in. 100%, dude. I don't know what you're majoring in. We could talk on that on the side. I think this is your year as well. I think this is everybody's year, man. KT Raypack is my friend Katie from high school. I didn't even know she was a fan of the Facebook page. She says, try to hit my macros. Katie is a girl that has really, if you talk about a bully, she bullied my ass in high school. She was always mean to me, but we went on a cruise together. Not just me and her, just me, her. And, you know, it kind of touches on something that I was going to mention anyway. Katie went on a cruise with us. It was me, my friend Mark, Polish, Greg, and my buddy Robbie. And unfortunately, I had the terrible news drop on me at the Wawa's, and I don't know how I really held it together. But our friend Robbie Penna, passed away on Friday. And listen, I'm nobody to talk about what he had going on. All I know is he was very, very talented and he had a great, great relationship with his wife and his kid. So I, you know, again, can't tell you what's been going on in his life. I haven't seen him in a very long time, but every time I did see him, he lit up the room with a lot of conversation, because those conversations about the cruise and his dance moves and just all sorts of fun shit, you know, really lit up the room and really, you know, had us going, you know, had us really excited. So rest in peace, Robbie. And, you know, like I said, to all my fallen people that are up there and they hear this and looking down on us, I really hope that there's, you know, beer served in heaven. And if there is, save me a bar stool. You know what I mean? And there's so many people that are young and lose their lives because they, you know, I'm not saying him in particular. I'm just saying in general. It's a very big shame when it comes to, you know, I preach this all the time. I really do. That we only get one, you know, his is over now and that's it. It's done. I lost a lot of people in 2017 and I've lost a lot of people in my life and a lot of them way too soon, you know? And I know that sounds cliche, like, oh, gone too soon. Like, not really, they are gone too soon, man. Like, this is the kind of shit that, you know, people have to deal with, and it crushes families, it makes people hurt inside, but it really does put a lot of shit in perspective if you think about it, you know. And I talked to my friend Melissa about this, and, you know, she's an ex-girlfriend, she's a friend of mine, and every time I see her, if I see her out, it's a very sociable thing, but she was really close with Robbie, and she broke down on Friday, and, you know, she hit me up, and she, you know, told me how upset she was, and I'm just like, now it's time. You know, she has a beautiful daughter, a great family at home. And I was like, now's the time to really, really take advantage of everything that you have. And that goes for everybody that's hearing the sound of my voice right now. It's time to really, really embrace the things you have in life, because before you know it, it's gone. And you don't know when it is. You obviously can avoid certain situations. You can avoid drinking and driving. You can avoid doing drugs. You can avoid playing with fire. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, there's a million ways to die in this world. And you really, I'm not saying play it safe. And I'm not saying be cautious, everybody. You know what I mean? Like, it's not the case at all. I'd rather you take chances and take risks and live life like it's your last, like live every day like it's your last, because it's, look, man, look what shit happens. Every day somebody drops, you know what I mean? And it's very, very scary how fragile life can be. So I truly think if you're going to do anything in 2018, it's to take more chances. It's to take more risks. It's to be more active. And it's to just enjoy the shit out of the one life you got. Because, boy, let me tell you, it goes fast, and I'm like, these are the kind of moments that put everything I do in perspective. Like everything I'm going to be doing in 2018, you find your reason why. You know, what's your reason? Like, what's your why? What's your purpose? I have a family at home, you know, me, my wife, my little cat, you know what I mean? One day I'm going to have a son or a daughter. You know, these are the people that I work for, you know what I mean? The people that I work for, my coworkers, my friends at work, people that are very important to me in my everyday life that I can't live without. You know what I mean? Like, these are people that surround me with positivity and encouragement. There are certain people out there that just have gone above and beyond for me, to either supporting me for my shows, buying tickets every month, not just like to put money in my pocket, but just to be there. You know, it's crazy. Like when I first started wrestling, there was hundreds and hundreds of people that would come up to me. Like, hey, I want to see you wrestle. Hey, I want to see you wrestle. And now the wrestling is over for me. It's like, oh, okay. Nobody wants to come see me anymore. Like I'm doing something else, but I'm not wrestling, you know? But there's constant people. My friend Jess constantly, every month, brings her son to see all the stars, and I've created a monster. Like, this kid is a huge fan now of WrestlePro and Impact Wrestling and all this other shit. Like, that's what you do it for, man. You do it for the youth and for them to find an outlet, because maybe they don't like their life every day. You know, maybe they don't like school, or maybe my friends have a hard time during the day going through their everyday life, and you could take 3-4 hours of a Saturday night and just enjoy yourself. You know, just have fun. Like, it's very easy to do. But yeah, I mean, I know I didn't even touch on it, but I hope everybody's Christmases were good. I hope Santa delivered all sorts of good shit to you. You know, I got a lot of cool stuff. I mean, my parents, the people that are around me that care about me the most have really gone above and beyond to make sure and ensure that I have the newest this and the newest that. And like, I know I don't make a lot of money right now, and I'm hoping that obviously this changes, but like the things that I'm being, you know, given as gifts from either my parents or my friends or my loved ones, it's like, holy shit, they really give a fuck. You know what I mean? And like, and this is like, me and my brother text all the time back and forth, like, what can we do for dad that just hasn't been done yet? You know what I mean? Like, he's the hardest man to shop for because he has everything, you know? But like, these are the people that give you all the stuff, and they really care. And I know it's Christmas isn't about the gifts, and it's about the family time, and I had a lot of that too. But at the same time, it's like, wow, man, they really do give a shit, and they really do care and support and love and all this other stuff. And it's you know, I don't want to get too mushy or anything like that, but it takes the holidays sometimes to bring it out of these people, you know. And then now coming up on the new year, I hope everybody has plans and has parties to go to. I'm simply going to be at my dad's, and I don't think there's anybody on the planet that I would rather be with than my dad and my cousins and my family and my best friends. You know, I go to my dad's, I don't get to have a house party at my dad's, so I get to invite my best friends, and they're there with me to ring in a new year, you know. So like I said, man, with that being said, this whole year has been a whirlwind. It's been something really awesome. It's like everything that's happened has been so cool. You know, unfortunately, there are people that I do not speak to anymore, and it is what it is. Like, I cannot sit there and dwell over the people that don't want to be around anymore. If you want to be around, you want to ride with me and ride with me into 2018, then more power to you. Because if you thought I was motivating and positive and inspiring in 2017, you ain't seen shit yet, okay? Because I promise you that 2018 is going to bring a lot of motivation. It's going to bring a lot of inspiration, and it's going to bring a lot of success. And if you latch yourself around the successful people, and you latch yourself around the people that know what the fuck they're doing, then those are the people you want to be around, because it will translate, it will rub off on you, and it will just make you a better, overall better person, happier person, positive person. The perks go unmatched, and I truly think you should follow me and just ride along with me. I'm not saying like, hey, ride my coattails or anything. I'm saying walk next to me while I go through all this shit, and I promise you that if you're around me, you're going to be around success. And that's, if it sounds too over the top, I don't care. Which, by the way, Over the Top, great, phenomenal movie. I talked about it on my Facebook the other day. I mean, Sylvester Stallone in an arm wrestling movie. Anyway, follow me, Twitter @Dave Sturch, Instagram, same thing, @Dave Sturch. Snapchat, I'm rarely on anymore, which I heard it's going away. I'm not going to lie to you. I think it was bought out. But anyway, Dave Destruction 2 on that. Facebook.com/Destruction101. Facebook.com/Dave Destruction. Follow all the podcasts that I am represented on. I am on two networks. I am on the B-Plus Player Radio Network with Mark Adam Haggerty. All those guys. Sean Donovan's got his own podcast. Mark Adam Haggerty has his own podcast. There's like 1,000 podcasts on that network. More power to them. The Shining Wizards Network. Make sure you go support them. Eddie, first of all, like a shout out to him for this year, because Shining Wizards Eddie, Edward Jackson, he has been my right-hand man. He has been my rock. He's made sure we've kept each other afloat. When we thought that things were kind of like stalling out, we always motivated each other, and I really truly think that me and him are in for a very, very cool 2018. Obviously, the rest of the Wizards, Tony, Matt, Kevin, follow those guys. Go follow Pat Buck, Buck Never Stops, on Twitter. He also has the Pat Buck WrestlePro show that drops every Wednesday, the same day as me, which I think I'm going to try to switch it up next year as podcasts go on. I don't want to overflow people, like have that on Wednesday, maybe me on Tuesday or Thursday or whatever. I don't know. But follow everybody, WrestleProOnline.com. Get your tickets for February 3rd. They are flying. We have already set pre-sale records, which is very exciting. And that's really it, man. I really hope everybody has a happy new year, safe one. Don't go nuts. Like, have some drinks, have a DD, call a fucking Uber, do your thing. Just, you know, don't end the year and your life at the same time. Be safe. Have a good time. Merry Christmas and happy holidays to everybody. And I will see. I was almost one of those guys where I'm like, see you next year. Like, but I will talk to you all in 2018. See you guys later.
I'm rolling for Kelp like Philly. Feel like I'm losing control of myself. I sincerely apologize if all that I sound like is I'm complaining, but life keeps on complicating, and I'm debating on leaving this world this evening. Even my girls can see I'm grieving. I try and hide it, but I can't. Why do I act like I'm all high and mighty when inside I'm dying? I'm finally realizing I need help. Can't do it myself, too weak. 2 weeks I've been having ups and downs, going through peaks and valleys, dilly-dallying round with the idea of ending the shit right here. I'm hating my reflection. I walk around the house trying to fight mirrors. I can't stand what I look like. Yeah, I look fat, but what do I care? I give a fuck. Only thing I fear is Haley. I'm afraid if I close my eyes and I might see her. Shit. In the bedroom, bathroom, napping at noon. Yeah, dad's in a bad mood. He's always snapping at you. Marshall, what happened at you? Can't stop with these pills, and you falling off with your skills, and your own fans are laughing at you. It become a problem, you're too pussy to tackle. Get up, be a man, stand. A real man would've had this shit handled. No, you just had your heart ripped out and crushed. They say proof just flipped out, homie just whipped out and bust. Nah, it ain't like duty to do that. He wouldn't fucking shoot at nobody. He'd fight first, but dwelling on it only makes the night worse. Now I'm popping bikes, perks and methadone pills. Yeah, M-type verse, you killed it. Fucking drug dealers hang around me like yes men, and they go do whatever I says when I says it. It's in the best interest to protect their investment, and I just lost my fucking best friend. So fuck it, I guess then. Understand this new me, that's understandable, man, but think how bananas you'd be. You'd be an animal too if you were trapped in this fame and caged in it like a zoo, and everybody's looking at you. What you want me to do? I'm starting to live like a recluse, and the truth is fame starting to give me an excuse to be at an all-time low. I sit alone in my home theater watching the same damn DVD at our first tour. The last tour he was still alive and it hurt sore. Fast forward, sleeping pills that make me feel alright, and if I'm still awake in the middle of a couple more, yeah, you're motherfucking right. I ain't slowing down for no one. I am almost homeward bound, almost in the coma. Yeah, homie, come on, dole them out. Daddy, don't you die on me. Daddy, better hold.
should state a few facts, cause I may not get a chance again to say the truth. Shit, it just hit me that what if I would not have made it through. I think about the things I would have never got to say to you. I'd never get to make it right, so here's what I came to do. Haley, this one is for you, Whitney and Elena too. I still love your mother, that'll never change. Think about her every day, we just could never get it together. Hey, wish there was a better way for me to say it, but I swear on everything, I'll do anything for her on any day. There are just too many things to explain. When it rains, guess it pours, guess it does. Wish there wasn't any pain, but I can't pretend there ain't. I ain't placing any blame, I ain't pointing fingers. Heaven knows I've never been a saint. I know that it feels like we just pissed away our history. And just today, I looked at your picture, almost get to say I miss you subconsciously. Wish it didn't end this way, but I just had to get away. Don't know.